The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
How many remember those early, early, early Christmases? Raise your hand. Boy, my mother loved Christmas. It's almost like she lived for it. She loved Christmas. And Christmas morning was very exciting for us. My siblings, I have seven brothers, Dennis, Johnny, Vin, Roger, Joe, Leslie, Lewis, and Kirk. I'm Leslie. And it was so exciting. Christmas morning was just, it was just lovely chaos. And of course, our parents would put us to bed early. We never knew why we had to go to bed early, but we would go to bed early. But it was so difficult to fall asleep because we just wanted to get down there and see what's under that Christmas tree. And a couple of my older brothers, I was told before I came along, by the way, my youngest brother just graduated from the oil sands and he's back in New Brunswick now. He said, I'm now retired, so he's my youngest one. He's my youngest brother. And so I texted him this week. I said, Santa Summers is going back east from the North Pole. Now he'll be back again. You know, once you get hooked up here, you say you're going to retire, but you don't. So he'll be back. However, I was told that a couple of my older brothers on Christmas morning, Mom and Dad put them to bed at 5 o'clock in the evening. And of course, you know what happened. They woke up at 8 o'clock. Same day, same night. And they rushed down and they didn't see much happening under the tree. So Mom and Dad put them back to bed again. But I remember coming down Christmas morning and the gifts under the trees and the eight of us just digging into those gifts. Back in those days, the wrapping was brown paper. Anybody understand that? The wrapping was brown paper. You got it? Dennis, Johnny, Vin, Roger, Joe, Lester, Lewis, and Kirk trying to feed eight boys. Brown paper. We would tear that brown paper off and we'd get into our, it was just chaos. And at that time we had, what's one of these big dogs? He was a crossbreed with something else, but a St. Bernard. So when you have eight boys and you throw a St. Bernard in the middle of it, it was a great time. Anticipation. We could hardly wait. And the prophets were like that. They had been told just in little snippets, somebody's coming, somebody's coming. And through the century, the anticipation built. And there was one gentleman, he was told this. He was told, now you can imagine, they waited now for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and this gentleman was told by God that you will not die until you see him. You imagine somebody coming to you, God, in an audible voice or an angel or whatever, and saying, you're not going to die till you see the Messiah. I mean, see the Messiah. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I don't know when he was told that. Maybe he was 10 years old. I don't know, right? It doesn't say. Maybe he was older, but God came to him and said, you will not die until you see him. Then it's something like this, then you may die. So can you imagine him living and functioning and whatever, knowing that, well, I haven't seen him yet. He's not here yet. So I guess I have another day. So talk about living in anticipation. Talk about wondering, who is this one that is so important that I've been told, you will not die until you see him. And the man's name is Simeon. And I want to read some of the scriptures here. I love this picture that you have to view of Simeon. Without a doubt, he's an elderly person, although we're not told how old he is. But let me read you some of the scriptures in Luke chapter 2. And we begin to read in verse 21. 8 days later, when the baby, that is Jesus, was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Now listen to this. That is day 8. The baby's 8 days old, and he's circumcised according to the Jewish tradition. Then a few more days pass, and he is now 40 days old. Jesus is now 40 days old. That's about a month, roughly a month and a half. I have a grandson. I think he's now 3 months old. So even not as old as him. When I visit the stores around here, when I see a mother with a baby, like this little one here, when I see a mother with a baby, I always, not always, but a lot of the times, I stop. I did their Canadian Tire, and I do it well everywhere. And I stop, and I say, oh, let me look at your baby. Because I'm a grandfather. My grandchildren aren't here. Show me your baby. And they pull, and they pull it, you know, the little wrapping. Are you listening today?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pulling, they pull the little wrapping back, and they're beautiful. How old is this one? Oh, my land. What's your name? Huh? I'm a stranger. She's not going to tell a stranger her name. She's a wise girl. And there's a lady, a young lady. I saw the baby just the top of the head like that. And I said, I'm a grandfather. I'm missing my grandchildren right now. Is this your little baby? And she pulled up, you know, like that, back. And this beautiful little boy, he's kind of a fat face. And I commented, and she was so happy that I said, "Oh, he's just a dandy little fella." And then I went around the store, and then I went down another aisle. My wife was with me, the second aisle or whatever. And I said, then I saw him again, like we're almost buddies now, you know. I've almost adopted him by now. And I said to my wife, I said, "That's the little fella. That's the little fella right there." Can you imagine being told by God, you won't die till the little guy arrives? Because he is so special that I want everyone to know I will even orchestrate who lives and who dies based upon my boy. I will orchestrate even details, Almighty God said, because this is my son. So listen to these scriptures. He's now 40 days old. Then it was time for their purification offering, that's Joseph and Mary, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, to the temple in Jerusalem, where the Dome of the Rock now is. The law of the Lord said, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. Very interesting phrase. The law said, if the first one is a boy, he's to be dedicated to the Lord. That's not just, Lord, here he is, and please bless him. But the firstborn, in a special way, belonged to God. And often the firstborn was so dedicated to God that he became a Levite, kind of to assist the priest in a priestly line. Which is kind of interesting, isn't it, that the firstborn is a priest. Reminds me many things about Jesus. Don't you agree? So it says here, a woman's first child is a boy. He must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Joseph and Mary were so poor financially, they couldn't afford a sheep, a lamb. Because the Old Testament says, when you dedicate your children to God, bring them to the temple, and it said, first of all, sacrifice a lamb on behalf of this child. You know what it means? Take the best you have and present it to the Lord. But the Lord also said in the Old Testament, if you cannot afford a lamb, then you may use two pigeons or turtle doves. And so the sacrifice that they made that day was a sacrifice of poor people. They didn't have much. Then it says this, So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, listen to this, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Righteous means he could walk around town and everybody knew that he was an honest man of integrity. That's what righteous means here. When he went through town, or when he went to the shops, people knew you could trust him. Simeon was a trustworthy man, man of integrity. Like we used to say, he kept his word. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he's not going to do it, he would not say it. He was a righteous man, a man of integrity, Simeon. Not only that, but it says he was a devout man. Righteous here means in the face of others, humanity, his friends, co-workers, whatever, they knew he was what he said he was. And it says here he was devout. That means in the face of God, he knew God and he walked with God. What the Old Testament would call him is he was one of the remnant, R-E-M-N-A-N-T. A remnant means a segment of the whole. Because the whole had gone bad, but not the remnant. Almost all of Israel had turned to idols and had turned to violence and had turned to greed. So Israel was not honoring the Lord. But some of them were. And one of them is Simeon. He was righteous and he was devout. And then it says this, he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed, listen, he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I like the next couple of words. It says, that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. That day. Just the right time, just the right... Have you ever experienced that? That something took place, and it's like, isn't that amazing? I was right there at that time and experienced that event. You know, that's the leading of God. That's the leading of God. It says, Simeon, it says here, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. Now, I don't know about you, but when God wants to do something special, I want to be there. Amen? When God wants to stir something, I want to be in the middle of it. Do you? Amen. You see, sometimes we are out of God's will. We are not listening to Him. We're not in the Word. We're not in prayer. We are consumed with the world. So we're off on some tangent. And God is doing something somewhere, but we are not there. I want to be there when God is about to do something good. I want to be there when God wants to revive His people. I want to be there at the right time, the right place, to have some influence on that person who has yet not come to Christ. I want to be there. Pray that to God. Say, Lord, I want to be where you are working. Lord, I want to be there that where you can use me. Lord, I don't want to miss what you have for my life. Lord, I don't want to be frittering my life away on that which counts for nothing long term. I want to be there. I want to be in the center of the will of God. I have prayed that since I've been knee-high to a hubcap. That's very tiny. Well, it's a little bigger up here, a lot of 4x4s and trucks. But since I've been a boy, came to Christ when I was a boy, gave my life wholly to Christ when I was a boy. And one of my prayers is, Lord, I want to be in the center of your will for my life. Do you? Would you dare say to God, God, I don't want to miss out on what you have for me that is in your will. Not out of it. I want to be there. Right place, right time. That's what Simeon was. He was available to God. Let's read this together. I think you have it up on your screen. Next one, please. Can you see that? Well, if you can't, just hum it. We'll read it. Read it with me. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." It's a prophecy that comes from the mouth of Simeon. I love that picture. I love that image. Because when Mary and Joseph and the little baby Jesus entered, Simeon was alerted by God. Here he comes. That's him. That's him. There might have been many babies there that day. Probably were. But God is prompting this man of God and saying, "That's him right there." That's him. And he goes over and Simeon, probably quite elderly, he picks the little baby up in his arms. And here, it's kind of a blessing, but it's more of a prophecy. And he says this, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised." Isn't it an amazing thing? Let me put it this way. When he finally met Jesus, he was ready to go. Have you met him? When he finally met Jesus, he was ready to go. "Now let your servant die in what? In peace." Let me say, my dear friends, Jesus was sent into the world to die, that our sins might be remitted, forgiven, that we would be ready to go. He didn't come here as a martyr. He was not a martyr. This was all in the plan of God. And I want to say this from the authority of the Scriptures. If we have not met Jesus Christ by faith, we are not ready to go. I could not imagine living this day without the assurance that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Amen. And he rose on the third day. Amen. And there came a time in my life in which I acknowledged, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I sin in word, thought, and deed, and I have a sin problem deep within my heart." And there came a time in which I definitely said, "Lord, this is what I did." As a young boy, I knelt down on my knees. And I said, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Now come into my life." And he did. He did. And from that day on, I'm ready to go. But my dear friends, whether you're a young boy, young girl, teenager, whatever, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't met him, you are not ready to go. This might be your day to trust him. Amen? So that even if we left after this service and our lives were taken, we're ready. We're ready. We know our Lord. And we're ready to be with him. So Simeon, right place, right time, and grabbed the little baby up and said, "Lord," look what he said, "Lord, I have seen your salvation." Tells me something very quickly. Tells me salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in the temple. Salvation is not in my good deeds. Salvation is not in my righteousness. Salvation is not in, you see what I'm saying? He had the little baby and he said, "I have seen," some versions say, which I like, "my eyes have seen." I love it. Thank you. You should come up here with me. We've got a competition going here. My eyes have what? My eyes have seen your salvation. My dear friends, I love church. If I weren't a pastor, weren't up here, I'd be an usher. I loved anything about church, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I love it. It's a good thing. Good thing, right? Because my calling would be awful if I didn't. But I know that salvation is not in the church. Creeds, deeds, it's not there. I love certain creeds. I love that we can do good things to honor God, having come to know Him. But salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ. And if you have not met Him and invited Him into your life, you are not ready to go. You are not ready to die. For the Christian absent from the body is present with the Lord. For those who do not know Christ, absent from the body is in an eternity without Christ forever. Trust Him. Trust Him. I have seen your salvation. Anyone still listening? Raise your right hand. Anyone shut down? For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Bethlehem was David's city. He conquered it hundreds of years before Jesus came. And Joseph is of the lineage of David. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a good moral man, a great teacher, a great philosopher, a great preacher, a great military No. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the what? The Lord. He came to save lost souls. And if we're not about that business, we've missed the target. Thank God He saved my soul. The day I acknowledged I was a sinner and needed a Savior and confessed my need and trusted Him. You do that today if you're not sure. Invite Christ into your life. Salvation is in a person, and His name is Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men. Listen to this. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only one name saves, and it's a name, Jesus. Jesus. No other name. No other guru. No other religious leader. No other great political whatever. Only Jesus. And even His common name, Jesus Joshua, means one who saves and rescues. Common name, but He makes it uncommon. He's the Savior. I have seen your salvation. Jesus is the Savior. And then I like this next part. I have seen your salvation. Look what it says here. Which you have prepared for how many people? All people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people Israel. He's not only the Savior, He's the Savior of all people. Everyone needs the Lord. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every individual needs Jesus Christ. He is the answer to humanity. And when humanity tries to seek the answer elsewhere, it will continue to be in chaos. Because Christ is the answer. Jesus is the Savior. And it says He is Christ, the anointed one, the sent one. He is Christ the Lord. No one greater, no one higher. It is Christ the Lord. And this is a great assurance to me today. Jesus is the Savior for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the what? Nations. I love that word, nations. He's the glory of your people, Israel. Nobody's outside of the scope of the grace of God. Yet everyone needs to respond to whosoever will may come. Have you come to Christ? He is the Savior for all people, a light to reveal God to the nations, a light. Jesus is the light. I am the way, the truth, the life. John said he is the light of the world. You know what the light does? It exposes what's in the dark. Light exposes what's in the dark. You know what that is called? Conviction by the Holy Spirit. People really don't come to Christ unless they see their sin first. You will not take the medicine unless you realize you're ill. And so many are just simply fans of Jesus. They've never repented. Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for those who realize, I have a desperate need. I have been separated from God. I've gone astray. My sins are going to consume me. And the light of the good news of Christ comes on and exposes our shortcomings. And we realize, oh, we are spiritually ill. And the light exposes that which is wrong. And then the Lord, what? He convicts us, we repent, and he comes into our lives. Lord, I don't want to live that way any longer. Thank you that you died for all of my what? Sins. Come into my life. Become my Savior. I trust you. You see, he is the light here, it says, to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people Israel. Almost all of the early church were converted Jews. Jesus is still a Jew. Born a Jew, lived a Jew, he will be a Jew eternally in this human body. He still loves his own people, you know. He has not surrendered that. So salvation is in a person. I have seen your salvation. Jesus is a Savior for all people, light to reveal to the nations, and his glory of the people Israel. Therefore, I want to just encourage us today. We have been thinking about for many months about what should this church be all about? What should this church? I'm getting selfish right now. Is that all right? What should this church, North Life, be about? Here's what we envision. This is to be a family of nations. We're in Fort McMurray. And when I look at you today, there's many nations here. Beautiful. We are a family of nations loving God. Don't you love? First commandment is to love God with all of our hearts. A family of nations loving God. And then this last word, together. Let us get more intentional about that. It's so in the macrocosm of this globe and in heaven. Because one day when Jesus returns and we worship him face to face, there will be people from every tongue, every tribe, and every what? Nation. And we shall bow before him. So let's get a little taste of it here now. And let's welcome it and embrace it and be intentional about it. A family of nations loving God together. You will hear that many, many times. And when I meet you in the foyer or on the aisle or downtown after I tap the top of the head of that little bald baby and I look at you, come and I'll say, what is North Life all about? We are a family of what? Nations loving God together. And some things have to happen. I just take a few minutes on this. If that is going to be so, Jesus has come that he might be for all nations, all people. If it's going to be so, some things must happen. Therefore, we need to go, we need to gather, we need to give, and we need to what? Grow. Jesus' last commandment should be our first concern. His last word on his lips should be the first on ours. When he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, he said to you and I, therefore what? Go. What we have been blessed with, others need the Lord. This city of about 100,000 people, this city in out a bit, of about 100,000 people, I would say that today there'd be about maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people in church. Maybe. Now, if you take 100,000 and you knock off 3, let's be generous, knock off 5, which probably is not the truth. We have 95,000 people who today are in no place of worship, who are diverted, and some who should be here today are diverted, fiddling with that which amounts to nothing long term. 95,000 people today in this city, I would say probably almost all still without Christ, without a personal relationship. Therefore, we are a family of nations. We must go, and we shall go. You will touch 11 people this week, just in common, everyday contact. Do they know that you know the Lord? Is there a prayer? Is there a word? Is there a gift? Is there a how are you doing today? In the name of Jesus. We go, we gather. That is when we come together for worship and for prayer and for the Word of God. But if we don't go, there will be no new ones to come and gather. We will stagnate. We will fossilize. And sadly, we will simply get used to each other. And we'll never be a family of diversity, nations. We go, we gather, we give of our time, of our talents, of our treasure. The church should never lack people who serve and people who give financially. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be. He didn't say it the other way around. He didn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. He said, where your treasure is, your heart will be. It's a choice, you see. If you choose to put the funds there, your heart will follow. Your heart follows wherever you put your funds. We are to give, thank God. Oh, dear Lord, I got to wrap this baby up. There's the baby again. ...168 hours in every week. 168 hours in every week. And some complain about helping the church for a half an hour a week. What if God required a tithe of the 168 hours a week, which is 16.8 hours? Maybe he does. You see, for us to become increasingly a family of nations loving God together, we need to be goers. We need to be gatherers. We need to be givers of time, talent, and treasure. And then we will grow. There's an order to this. And then we will have spiritual, numerical growth. But if we're not going, if we're not gathering, if we're not giving, we are not growing, even if we fool ourselves and think we are. Simeon held the little boy up and said, I'm ready to go now. Because mine eyes have seen your what? Salvation. Would you trust Christ today? Lord, thank you for dying for me, my sins. I believe you rose on the third day. Lord, right now, come into my life. Make it definite. Make it definite. And if you pray that prayer, Lord, come into my life, forgive me, become my Savior. Just talk with me later on after the service is concluded and say, Pastor Les, I prayed that prayer. I want the Lord in my life. I'd be happy to pray with you. give you some literature and help you in your new growth in Christ. You've begun the journey. And my dear Christian friends, He hasn't taken us home yet, because there's somebody to reach. There's somebody for you to reach. God help us. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you, salvation is in a person. His name is Jesus. Thank you that you brought us to Christ. Help us now, dear Father, to increasingly become a family of nations that love God together. Help us to be those who are intentional about serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.